Most of you know that just a little over a year ago, I actually was finally ordained. And I was surprised to discover in that process that getting ordained is actually a little bit like getting married. I didn't expect that part of it. It involved significant preparations leading up to a big day, the date of which had been on the calendar months before the big day actually arrived, not unlike a wedding. We had rehearsals for the ceremony. We had vows witnessed by our community. We had a celebration with family and friends after the ceremony, and then lovely gifts, which totally surprised me. Gifts that remind me of the relationships that I am blessed to have in my life. Now, some of those gifts were obviously related to pastoral ministry. I received a number of clerical stoles, one of which is this beautiful green one that's crooked, that my husband bought for me on the island of Iona in Scotland, and I love it. But others of them were not quite so overtly pastor gifts. One of the less overtly Christian gifts is actually this necklace that I'm wearing this morning. It's a simple design by a local artisan, just a slender silver bar with words engraved on two of the sides. And the words say, "Begin each day with gratitude." It's lovely. I wear it often. I love the simplicity of it. But even more, I love that in the morning when I put it on, it reminds me to start the day by being thankful. Now, obviously, this idea of being thankful has an important place in the practice of our faith. But I'm not sure that the artisan who created this necklace chose those words of wisdom because of their connection to Christianity. I suspect he or she has heard about a growing awareness we have in our society of how important gratitude is in our lives. If you are the kind of person that likes to research things on the internet, the next time you're sitting at your computer, you may want to do a search on gratitude. Just type that in. You'll discover that there is this huge field of research into the impact that gratitude can have on us. Dr. Robert Emmons from the University of California at Davis is considered to be the world's leading scientific expert on gratitude. I emphasize scientific because, yes, scientists, not psychologists, scientists are studying gratitude. He and others have and continue to do in-depth work. They're exploring the impact an intentional practice of gratitude can have on us. They do interesting things as part of their research. They'll take a group of people and they will ask you, if you're part of that group, to regularly stop and think of something you're grateful for. And then to sit and take the time to write a thank you note to the person who's actually responsible for you having that blessing in your life. Well, it turns out that the researchers have discovered that sending a thank you note is much more than just a social nicety and a polite thing to do. It can actually have a significant impact on our well-being and on the well-being of others. There's this growing body of research that proves that focusing on what we have to be grateful for can have a remarkable impact on our lives. Being intentional about being grateful every day can actually change your brain chemistry. And that has a huge impact. It can help us in our relationships with others, with our own emotional and physical well-being. It can lead us to reduce sickness, increased energy levels, better sleep. Gratitude can help with depression, it can help to lower blood pressure, and it can provide some relief from chronic pain. All these physiological things. It can also help us to have a more optimistic outlook, and that helps you to overcome adversity when life brings that along, and to be able to experience more joy. Practicing gratitude improves our self-esteem and our happiness. And as you would expect, those reading those thank you notes found that they had a positive effect in their lives as well. So the repercussions of choosing to be grateful can reach beyond us to others as well. Well, needless to say, these findings are becoming very well known. There's a ton of TED Talks on this if you're interested in TED Talk videos. It seems that they've given birth to a kind of a gratitude revolution, and hence the popularity of things like this necklace. People are realizing the value in choosing to focus on things in our lives that we're grateful for. Well, I need to warn you. If you do that Google search on gratitude and you start to read through some of the articles that pop up, you might be fooled into thinking that this is a new idea and that Dr. Emmons is this revolutionary guy who discovered this connection between gratitude and our well-being. But he's not. I don't know who first figured this out. But we have evidence before us this morning that long before Dr. Emmons came along, people have recognized that being grateful can have a significant positive impact on your life. Our reading today actually comes from a letter the Apostle Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. And it actually talks about this connection between gratitude and our well-being. Now, most biblical scholars think that Paul wrote this letter sometime during the 2 years he was being held under house arrest in Rome. He wasn't actually physically chained up in a cell at this point. He was just actively being kept from leaving the house that he was staying in. It seems that the Roman authorities had decided that he was trouble. He wouldn't stop talking about Jesus. And he traveled and he planted churches and encouraged the people in those churches to talk about Jesus. Well, the powers of the Roman Empire wanted to put a stop to this, and so they were working on how to do that. But it was a bit complicated because Paul was actually a Roman citizen. Well, it wasn't just Paul that they were trying to stop. They were also putting pressure on the people who were in all of those churches that Paul had planted in his travels between Jerusalem and Rome. Christians in the first century tended to live under persecution. And the Christians that Paul was writing to in Philippi were facing their fair share of it. So I share that with you because it's the background that we need to remember as we read Philippians. Paul's confined to a house. He may be facing eventual execution. And he's writing to some beloved friends in Philippi who are facing pressure and may actually be in danger themselves as well for their faith in Christ. You know, any way you approach it, the letter to the Philippians is a wonderful read. But when you read it, remembering and imagining this persecution that the Philippians were enduring, it becomes this incredible testimony to the power of our faith to sustain us through extreme difficulties. When you read it, you don't hear a man complaining about his situation. You don't hear a man who's afraid for his life, even though he very well might have been. And you certainly don't hear a man who's given up on God or feels like God's given up on him. And you don't hear a man who's about to give up on the mission God has called him to. Philippians isn't full of fear and anxiety. It's full of love and rejoicing. Paul doesn't deny the very real struggles that they're facing, but instead he urges the Philippians to trust in Jesus, to rejoice in this life they've found in Christ, and to stand strong in the face of their persecution. Well, as he concludes the letter, we come to this passage that we have read together this morning. And in it, he gives them some very brief pieces of wisdom, advice that can help them to stand firm. He urges them to deal with a conflict that seems to have erupted between two of the women leaders in the church. Encourages them to get that sorted out and for the fellow who's receiving the letter to help them with it. Then he goes on and he encourages the whole church to rejoice in the life they've found in following Jesus. He reminds them to be gentle, not to retaliate against the people who are persecuting them. And he calls them to focus on what is good and noble, and not to worry, but to pray. Now, all of those things are really, really good pieces of wisdom, and honestly, this sermon could have focused on any one of them. But for today, I chose for us to focus on the part that talks about gratitude on verses 6 and 7. So let me share with you those again, just those two verses. Paul says, "Do not worry about anything." Some translations say, "Don't be anxious about anything." "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He's urging them not to worry. But thank heavens he doesn't just stop there. Because I don't know about you, but when I'm worrying, it doesn't usually help for someone just to tell me to stop worrying. If he'd done that, if he'd stopped and just said, "Don't worry," he might have left them feeling like he was minimizing the difficulties that they were facing. And he's not. He knows how hard things are for them. He also knows that they might get even harder. And so he goes on. He doesn't stop with "Don't worry." He gives them this powerful strategy that can help them to overcome the fear and the anxiety. He says, "In everything," as in always, regardless of what you're facing, pray. It makes sense, doesn't it? That's what we do. We're Christians, we pray. I remember on one of our Mexico mission trips, we had a young fellow slot into a suddenly empty spot on the team. We had somebody had to back out at the last minute, and this young fellow was a friend of one of the youth that was going, and he slotted in. But he was his lovely, sincere guy, and he said to me before he signed on the dotted line to be part of the team, "You need to know I'm an atheist." And I said, "Okay, would you like to build a house for a family who doesn't have one?" And he said, "I really do." And I knew he really did. I knew him. So I said, "Well, come with us then. You'll get to see us kind of living in our natural habitat." Well, we hit this really intense moment, as happens on mission trips. And in that moment, it was so interesting because it was that young fellow who turned and looked at me and said, "Diane, we need to pray. Isn't that what Christians do?" I did smile, as you are, because my first thought was, well, I wonder who he thinks we're praying to. I was curious about that. But he obviously thought there was something to this prayer thing that we do. And you know what? He was wise, because he's right. There really is something to it. And so Paul reminds the Philippians to pray, but not just to pray in any way. He urges them to ask God for what they need, but to do so with grateful hearts and minds. That's the real key to the advice he's giving. It's also the real challenge. Because when times are tough and fear and anxiety are looming, it can be really, really hard to shift your focus away from that onto trying to be grateful. But Paul urges us that making that shift is absolutely critical. We don't just pray. We pray from a place of being thankful. Thankful for God's love and care and grace. Thankful for all the ways we've known those things in our lives. Thankful that we can trust every single promise God has made to us. Especially his promise to never, ever leave us. Paul's urging them in the midst of their struggles to pray, remembering those profound blessings of God. And then rather than asking God for what we need out of fear, we can ask out of that place of being so very thankful for God's love and care. It's interesting. Way back then, the Apostle Paul realized how important being grateful is. And how, as those gratitude researchers are now discovering, choosing to be grateful can actually deeply affect our well-being. We've heard Paul describe how it happens. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And here's what he describes happens when we do that. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God's peace will guard us. I love that imagery. As we come to come to God in thanksgiving, even in the midst of trials and difficulty, he can give us his peace. A peace that protects us so that we aren't overwhelmed by fear and anxiety. Paul knew this firsthand. He'd had his fair share of tough circumstances. He knew that choosing gratitude can bring a peace that is both deep and powerful. In the Message translation of the Bible, Eugene Peterson describes this peace as a sense of God's wholeness, of everything coming together for good. That's what can happen as we shift our focus away from worry towards all that we have to be thankful for. Well, I find it fascinating that modern researchers are discovering this tangible evidence of this connection between gratitude and our well-being. It's like they're nibbling around the edges of a truth that is eventually going to reveal much, much more than I suspect they are anticipating. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we discover that the theories of our modern experts are really just new expressions of very old wisdom, truths about our lives and about ourselves that we actually discover in the pages of Scripture. I have a hunch that that's what's happening in this gratitude revolution we're seeing. And I think this because the further along they go in this research, the more biblical their findings are starting to sound. Most recently in Dr. Emmons' work, he's identified that there's some vital parameters that are essential as we get clear about what we mean about gratitude. As he's studied further, he's discovered that just having a generic sense of being grateful isn't actually enough. The gratitude that really impacts our lives has to have two important parts. First, it must involve a recognition of goodness. That makes sense, right? We intentionally recognize and acknowledge what it is in our lives that is good. The second part's what's so interesting. The gratitude that actually improves our well-being must also include an attribution of that goodness. And what he means by that is that it's not enough just to say I've got this good thing and be thankful in general. We recognize the blessing and then we acknowledge where it's come from, or rather who it's come from. For gratitude to do its wonderful work in our lives, we actually have to thank someone. Which brings us right back here to our passage and to our worship today. Of all those things we could have talked about today, I chose gratitude because this is a communion Sunday. And at its heart of the Christian life is this one of our most sacred practices. A practice that is all about coming to God in gratitude and receiving the blessings of wholeness and peace that God promises. The words that we will say and listen to together as part of our communion liturgy in a little bit, they're all about thanking God for his love, for his presence with us, for his movement in and for this world, and most profoundly for Jesus, and for the way he has graciously made for us to have life with God once again and forever. We are blessed with grace beyond measure, and this sacrament of communion is a very special way that Christians regularly express our gratitude to the one who is the source of all that grace. Here at St. Stephen's, we most often refer to this sacrament as Holy Communion. But some of you may have spent some time in other churches where it's more commonly referred to as the Eucharist. Eucharist is a version of a Greek word, Eucharisto. When I was traveling in Greece last fall, I said that word a lot, because the Greek word Eucharisto actually means thank you. This sacrament that we are about to participate in is at its heart our thank you, our thank you to God. And so I invite you, as we move into the liturgy this morning, to listen carefully to the words we say. Listen with your hearts and with your minds as together we acknowledge God's unfathomable goodness to us. And then when it's time, come. Come to Jesus' table in thanksgiving and in love. And as you do, receive this wonderful peace that he has proclaimed and promised to all of his followers. A peace that guards us. A peace that permeates our whole being. A peace that truly does surpass all understanding. Amen.